us more. Satisfy our every need. We will be one with you and one with your purpose. Remember this morning.
Thank you, we can come to you through the cleansing of your blood.
Amen.
Thank you, your word sanctify us.
Amen.
So we come to you with pure heart.
Amen.
A humble spirit.
Amen.
So you speak to us.
Amen.
Speak to the church, to the building up of us.
Amen.
Thank you for your word.
Amen.
You need to build up your church.
Amen.
Listen to your word.
Amen.
Book of Romans.
Amen.
Thank you for showing us your plan of redemption. For your eternal purpose.
Amen.
Continue to build up your church today.
Amen.
All may be edified.
Amen.
May we be built with you.
Amen.
Lord, we need by every word of your mouth.
Yes.
Thank you, we can come to your word.
Amen.
And we can come to you.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
To cleanse us with your blood.
Amen.
And anoint your word.
Amen.
We love you, Lord. In your precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, saints. We just finished reviewing Romans chapter 15 and 16. Points, since we already went through chapter 15 and 16. The first point is we have read Romans 15, 16. Paul mentioned that he is a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles and a laboring priest of the gospel of God, in order that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, having been sanctified in the Holy Spirit. This is toward the end of Romans. In the very beginning of Romans, maybe you can read Romans chapter 1, verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son. How unceasingly I make mention of you always in my prayers. So we see that Paul, he preached the gospel. He said he's a laboring priest. So he's not just a preacher, rather he's a priest. A priest is one who serves God. And Paul said in the very beginning, he served. He served God.
Amen.
In his spirit and in the gospel of his Son.
Amen.
So Paul's gospel preaching is his serving as a priest. And he served in the spirit. Through this little, this one verse, it opens up that we usually know that in the Old Testament there are priests. But in the New Testament, here Paul said very clearly, he is a priest of the gospel. So this is very striking. In fact, the whole New Testament, this may be the only place mentioned about he is a priest of the gospel. But if we read the New Testament, we will realize not just Apostle Paul, he said that. Apostle John and Apostle Peter, they also share along the same line. Maybe we can read the verses also together. Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Let's read together. And from Jesus Christ, faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has released us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the might forever and ever. Amen. So these two verses, it shows that the Lord shed his blood. You know, during the Lord's table, we enjoy very much that the Lord died for us on the cross, accomplished redemption, and he shed his blood.
Amen.
In this verse, he mentioned he shed his blood to release us from our sins, but for a purpose. It's not just that we will be redeemed, but to make us a kingdom and priests. So this verse is not just referring to a few, but rather everyone. Everyone who has been released from his sins, we are part of this kingdom, and we are all priests.
Amen.
So this is very clear by Apostle John's word. There are another one verse in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Let's read it also. And they sing a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain and have purchased for God by your blood men out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." I think maybe verse 10 mentioned that we are...
Verse 10
mentioned that he has purchased... verse 9 mentioned that he purchased by his blood. And verse 10 mentioned that he made us a kingdom and priests.
Right.
So again, he emphasized the same point, that we are a kingdom, we are priests.
Amen.
And Apostle Peter also has the same utterance. Let's read 1 Peter 2:5. "You yourself also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people acquired for the possession, so that you may tell out the virtues of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Apostle Peter's utterance is very particular, because he mentioned not just priests, he mentioned a priesthood. A priesthood means something corporate.
Right.
There may be priests, they serve on their own. But according to the Bible, the priests, when they serve, supposed to be in the priesthood.
Right.
Not supposed to be individually doing his own thing. So even in the matter of preaching the gospel, yes, we are priests of the gospel.
Right.
But we should be also realizing that we are a part of the priesthood.
Amen.
Serving the Lord together. In fact, Peter mentioned that in verse 5, that you yourself also, he mentioned that the Lord as a living stone, and coming to him, we also as a living stones are built together into a, built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood. So we may say the holy priesthood and the spiritual house, they are in opposition. So the building up the spiritual house is the serving of the holy priesthood.
Amen.
So it's very clear that all three apostles, you know, of course Apostle Paul mentioned, and Apostle John mentioned, and Apostle Peter also mentioned, that today we all are priests.
Amen.
We are serving. And of course, we all in the church life, we serve in different areas. Some may be serving in the children's meeting, in the ushering service, or in the taping, you know, many other services. But according to the word, we are priests serving God, not just serving certain things. We are priests serving God and serving as priests of the gospel. So I just feel that this, you know, this time when I come back to Romans 15, 16, I enjoy this matter of the priesthood that we're serving together. We all participating in sharing the gospel. You know, there is a difference between the holy priesthood and the royal priesthood.
Right.
holy priesthood in the Old Testament, the Aaronic priesthood is a holy priesthood. In Exodus 28, I think 35 or 36, there it mentioned that in front of the high priest, there's a crown, there's a plate, gold plate. And that gold plate is written, holiness to Jehovah.
Right.
So their priesthood is a holy priesthood. Royal priesthood, we know that in the Old Testament, the royal priest, if you are royal, you are in the kingship line. You are not supposed to be priests, because Judah is a tribe of kingship,
yeah.
And they cannot serve as priests. And the priests supposed to be in the priesthood, not supposed to be in the kingship. In the Old Testament, Melchizedek is the king of Salem, but he is the priest of the Most High God, so he is a kingly priest. In fact, in the Old Testament, also prophesied that the Lord Jesus, he will be a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord Jesus, he is a descendant of David. From that tribe, has no priest, but the Lord is a priest. So he is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. But today with us, we are both holy priesthood,
amen.
And we are also kingly priesthood.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a big blessing to all of us. So we should treasure, you know, our priesthood. Of course, the Old Testament, because the unfaithfulness of the children of Israel, the priesthood eventually not to all the tribes. Rather, it went to one tribe of among the all the tribes. It's not just one tribe, the tribe of Levi. It's only one household. The house of Aaron, they have the priesthood. So to have the priesthood is a rich, is a big blessing. I have a little feeling to mention, while I'm sharing that. Also, you know, in the summer we are very busy. There are many trainings, conferences, you know. We are, in fact, in the midst of the summer school too for the junior high and high schoolers. And before that, there was college training. And this time with the college training and also with the high schoolers, we emphasize very, or rather we try to help the high schoolers or junior highs to spend time before the Lord, you know. To be a priest, or when we read the word, the priest of the gospel, automatically we'll think, you know, we need to go to and preach the gospel. But in fact, the basic point concerning a priest is not so much in doing things first, but rather a priest is one who spends time before the Lord, who come to the Lord. So the holy priesthood is one who come forward to the Lord. So we know many saints. We all have a morning watch, and there are morning watch sheets. And that's very good. There's quite a few saints, they have morning watch with one another. And I also have, on the phone with some other brothers and some other brothers. And I heard there are many sisters' morning watch groups. You know, they will call one another and they will read the word together. And that is very good, you know. Every time when I spend time read the word with the brothers, and I feel strengthened. But in the Bible, it also mentioned that we not only should have the corporate aspect, that we read and join the word with brothers or sisters, and we also should spend some time before the Lord on our own. That is a holy priesthood.
Amen.
Holy priesthood is to go before the Lord.
Amen.
So I just want to encourage all of us, including myself, that we need to have our personal time with the Lord.
Yeah,
and when you touch the Lord, you realize the Lord is very real and personal to us. A lot of time when we spend time with other brothers and sisters, reading the morning watch verses, or reading a portion of the word, maybe messages, and a lot of time we are not able to tell the Lord something personally. But if you have personal time with the Lord, quite often the Lord may touch you, you know, and quite often you may be able to tell the Lord what's deep in you. And then the Lord becomes very personal to us, not just in a kind of a corporate way only. So I hope we all will spend some time when we get up in the morning. There was a saying of some of the saints that for us Christians, when we get up, the first thing we need to do is not to talk to someone, you know, or do too many things. Rather, we should see God first. We should meet our God, and we should spend time with our Lord. And that will really strengthen our Christian life and make our Christian life not just alive before man, you know. When he had morning watch with other brothers and sisters, still, you know, there was somebody else while you are with the Lord. But we should also have a life of before God. It's kind of like a tree, you know. The tree, there are the visible parts of the tree. But the tree also has an invisible part, which are the roots. The roots will help this tree to grow, will also strengthen this tree. So I just want to mention this concerning this matter of the priesthood. You know, we, after finish Romans 15 and 16, we will spend another 6 weeks on the book of Exodus. We just finished the second part of Exodus training. Exodus is a very rich book. In fact, Exodus is kind of like the book of Romans, because the book of Romans is to make sinners children of God, then sons of God, then members of the body of Christ, eventually living in the churches for God's purpose. And the book of Exodus is the same. The book of Exodus mentioned the children of Israel, they were slaves in Egypt. But through the Passover, they were redeemed. But redemption is not for itself. God redeemed them is to call them out, out of Egypt. So eventually, after Passover, they were baptized. And they were following the Lord, and the Lord feed them and lead them. But for a purpose, not just for them to live a life, okay, they are free from Egypt. They just enjoy God's provision. But rather, God wants to bring them. Because eventually, in the book of Exodus, we will get into it. God brought them to the mountain of God. Amen. So they will receive revelation concerning God. Amen. Concerning God. And also concerning God's desire. So, you know, the book of Exodus is wonderful. But the book of Romans is the same. He mentioned in the beginning of the book of Romans, they were sinners, condemned, but through the redemption, they were justified, they were reconciled, and they were sanctified. In chapter 8, they were made children of God, sons of God. Even eventually they will be glorified.
Right.
But again, God in the book of Romans brought all the saints in Romans to see that they need to go on to Romans 12 concerning the body of Christ.
Amen.
And eventually to chapter 15 and 16 of Romans to the churches,
yes.
To the church. It's very interesting in Exodus when the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt and they were brought to the mountain of Gah. In chapter 19, God said God bore them on eagle's wing to bring them to them to himself as a peculiar treasure and to make them a kingdom of priests. And then in chapter 20, he mentioned the decree of the Ten Commandments, and that is to reveal God himself to them. Then we see in chapter 25, you know, you may start revealing God's building, God's dwelling place. Then we're asking them to offer something to God, you know, for the building. And in chapter 35, again, you know, all the building of God's tabernacle that through Moses, with all the offering of the children of Israel, the tabernacle, God's dwelling place on the earth, was able to build. And in the book of Romans, it's also when they were saved, redeemed, Christ came into them. When it comes to Romans 12, the first mention, the first one, Paul said, "I exhort you, therefore, through the compassions of God, to present your bodies." In the Old Testament, the building of God's dwelling place are materials, physical materials. But in the New Testament, God's building is not physical materials. God's building is you and me, saved ones. So we need to give ourselves to the Lord for his building. So it's very precious, you know, that God needs all of us to be his building materials. I was reading, it was, you know, all the things, everything in the tabernacle, they are types of Christ. They are types of Christ. What can you offer? What can I offer? I realize I don't have anything to offer. Only Christ is acceptable. That's why we don't take anything from the unbelievers. They don't have anything to offer for God's building because there's nothing worth anything. But today, the Christ within us is precious. You know, when the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he said, "I brought you to myself. You are my personal treasure." So every one of us, we are God's treasure. We are God's treasure for a purpose, not just for people to appreciate, but rather we are here for God's building. So, but for God's building, not only we need to offer ourselves, God's building needs a lot of materials. Where the material came from? The material came from us preaching the gospel. If we don't preach the gospel, God has no materials. Because you don't last forever, I don't last forever. That's why we need to continue to preach the gospel. Amen. This time I read this portion of the word, and also, you know, last week we had a summer school truth, and the last lesson, it was Friday, Friday's lesson was concerning the Lord's second coming. I realize, you know, what I'm going to share, I want to see it in the light of the Lord's second coming. In Romans, there is a verse, chapter 11. Maybe we can read it together. Okay, maybe we read the verse before. Just to complete, I mentioned that the holy priesthood, concerning the Aaronic priesthood, that the high priest has a plate, gold plate, mentioned that word. Maybe we read the verse together. Exodus 28, verse 36. "And you shall make a plate of pure gold and engrave upon it, like the engraving of a signet, holy to Jehovah." This may be the only words in the usually Bible that are capital words. You know, the whole word is kept, is capitalized. Okay. To finish the matter of holy priesthood and royal priesthood, maybe I say this, holy priesthood is we go before the Lord.
Yeah.
And royal priesthood is we come to the people.
Yes.
That's why Peter mentioned in 1 Peter 2:9 concerning the royal priesthood, he mentioned we are to tell out the virtues of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
So we should be both the holy priesthood and also the royal priesthood. Some people may, you know, I'm shy, you know, I don't want to preach the gospel, you know, I just want to be a holy priest. But the Lord wants us to have both the holy priesthood and the royal priesthood. So last week, I think during the college training also, you know, they all went out to preach the gospel. A young brother, 7th grade, asked me, he said, he has the burden to preach gospel, but he's very shy. He asked me what to do. I said, I was shy too. I said, you know, we took the kids out to give out the tracts. I said, I used to do is I go behind a big brother. When he give out the tracts, he give to the first person, I give to the second person. So when they went out, you know, they get used to it. So they exercise their royal priesthood. They enjoy the law, they go out to preach the gospel. So we all can preach the gospel. Because we all are part of the priesthood.
Amen.
And God has made us priests. So we should exercise our privilege, our rights, you know, not to put it aside, not to bury it. We should be the living, functioning priests. I mentioned I want to put this in the light of the Lord's coming. And let's read Romans 11:25. For I do not want you, brothers, to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in yourself, that hardness has come upon Israel in part, until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. This phrase, the fullness of the Gentiles, may be translated also the number of the Gentiles when it's full. In other words, today, of course, the gospel is for all, because God desires all men to be saved, including Jews and including Gentiles. But I think sitting here, we have a few Jewish brothers, Jewish families, but one family moved to Israel. I don't know whether the other families here. I think most of us were Gentiles. Thank the Lord, you got saved, I got saved. But the Lord is waiting for a number of the Gentiles to come to the full. The Lord Jesus wants to come back. In Revelation 22, verse 7, verse 12, verse 20, three times. The first two times says, come Lord Jesus, come Lord Jesus. The third time, in verse 20, he mentioned, the Lord's answer, yes, I come quickly.
Amen.
The Lord wants to come back. Of course, there's an answer by John the Apostle. Amen. Come,
right.
Lord Jesus. Amen. How about let's all say it together.
Amen.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The Lord really wants to come back. But when will the Lord come back? Nobody knows the day, the time, but a couple facts. When it's done, the Lord will come back. One is the number of the Gentiles. So we have to preach the gospel.
Right.
The other Gentiles, in addition to you and me, they need to hear the gospel. They need to come to add to this number. It's kind of like a banner. Oh. A balance. When you add, you know, in the beginning, maybe it's not balanced. But when you add to the number is full, then both sides are equal. We may say, the Lord is waiting to come back. He wants to come back. But there are many Gentiles are not saved. We need to get them saved. so the Lord can come back.
Amen.
So may we all participate, have a part in expecting the Lord's come back, wanting the Lord come back, even hastening the Lord's coming back.
Amen.
Okay, I just shared this much concerning the priesthood. The next part is Romans 15. We read also that Paul, on one hand, he's very burdened for the gospel. But on the other hand, Paul knows God's heart. Just like the book of Romans, eventually leads to the body of Christ and to the local churches. So Paul was burdened. Paul is an apostle of the Gentiles. But at the same time, he's very concerned for the churches in Judea, among the Jews. So the verses we read in 15, you know, usually we say the 16 is concerning the local churches, the fellowship, the concern among the local churches. But in fact, toward the end of chapter 15, Paul already expressed his burden. He wants to go to Rome, but he didn't go there. He said he will go back to Jerusalem, then he will go to Spain on way of Rome. Why? Because Paul was burdened for the churches. Of course, in particular, the church in Jerusalem. Paul was an apostle of the Gentiles, so he raised up churches in Asia, and also in Macedonia. You know, the church in Philippi is a part of Macedonian churches. And also the churches in Achaia. So he was going to bring the material offerings to the church in Jerusalem for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And so he has a real heart, a real burden, real concern for the, not just for the Gentile believers, but also for the Jewish believers. We thank the Lord very much that recently we have a lot of saints visiting us. You know, they came from Far East, you know. Most of us, we don't go to Far East that often, so they came. That was wonderful. I think we all enjoy the fellowship. So we are the church in New York City, but we are not alone. We are part of the churches. We are part of the body of Christ. So we should not just be a Christian of a local church. We should be a Christian, even not just a country, not just a state, not just a country. We should be a Christian internationally, even universally. You see, universal isn't that too much. Well, the church is body of Christ.
Amen.
The body of Christ. In the universe, how many bodies? There's one body in the universe.
Amen.
That is the church.
Amen.
So we should be universal Christians.
Amen.
Our heart should be enlarged.
Amen.
The same as God's heart.
Yeah.
So I'm just burdened that we all can be a part, living in the practical church life. For the Lord to come back, the numbers of the Gentiles need to be fulfilled.
Right.
And also, the greatest prophecy in the New Testament is what the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. So the church needs to be built up.
Yeah.
Paul realized, not just saving the Gentile believers, that's good enough. No. It has to be many churches raised up. Even in New York State, you know. New York State, there are many other localities, small localities. And there are, in fact, still many places they don't have a church.
Yeah.
So we are here, we are not here for ourselves.
Right.
And the brothers are burdened that this year is a year of advancement.
Amen.
this year is a year of enlargement.
Amen.
So we need to lift up our eyes.
Yes.
That the Lord needs to have many get saved. And the Lord needs to raise up many churches.
Amen.
His lampstands.
Yes.
That today, may we all participate in the building up of the church.
Amen.
You know, concerning building up the church, we have a couple of verses. Matthew 16:18. Maybe we read that verse. Matthew 16:18 was toward the end. Let's read together. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. You know, the Lord will build his church, but the Lord will not build it directly. And how does he build? Then we see in the book of Ephesians. Let's read Ephesians 11 and 12. And he himself gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. So there is a practical way to build up the body of Christ. That is through the Lord giving gifts. You know, we send a hymn, he mentioned about the Lord will shepherd his people.
Yeah.
How does he shepherd? He feeds his sheep. He will feed his sheep to you and me.
Right.
So we all need to be sheep. Not just sheep, we also need to be shepherds.
Right.
You know. After the Lord's resurrection and before his ascension, when the disciples went fishing and the Lord met them, and then the Lord asked Peter three times whether he loves the Lord Jesus. And the Lord asked him three times, told him three times. The first time is, feed my lambs. The second time is, shepherd my sheep. And the third time is, feed my sheep. So the Lord wants Peter to be the shepherd. And today, the verse there mentioned that he gave apostles, prophets, shepherds and teachers, evangelists and shepherds and teachers. Evangelists is to preach the gospel. It's through the perfecting, you know. When we are perfected, you know, I went through some of the, you know, when the church has the burden to preach the gospel, and they train us, because all of us were not born able to preach the gospel. So the training really helps, because sometimes we talk to a friend, we talk 2 hours, he's not safe. No, he has said a lot, but he's not safe. If you are trained, you will realize, don't say too much.
Yes.
You are just bringing him to the Lord.
Amen.
As long as he is open to the Lord, pray with him,
yep,
and he can receive the Lord right away.
Right.
Even at this time, last week, when we went out with a young one, and two received the Lord.
Amen.
And this needs training. So the perfecting, you know, the perfecting will help all of us to preach the gospel and also to be shepherds. Because if we have the view of building up the church, we'll realize a person just saved, he can be a material, but he needs to grow in order to be transformed, to be material for the building. So everyone got saved. It's not the end. Every month we have gospel meetings, but a lot of people got saved. But a lot of saints feel, my job is done, because I brought them to the Lord. But if we have the view of the building up of the church, we will realize to get a person saved is just the beginning.
Right.
We all need to feed them so they can grow unto salvation and be transformed. I just want to pass this little burden, because it takes time to go into this matter of perfecting. He gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry, the building up of the body of Christ. So we all need to be perfected in order to be able to preach the gospel and also to shepherd others. At the end, I just want to mention, you know, soon we'll have another, we call it perfecting exercise. These are for the Chinese-speaking ones. And we already finished two terms, and all the saints feel very helpful. Because it's not just sharing some truth in the Word, you know. There's a saying in Chinese, the more messages you hear, you become prouder. But the more you practice, the more you get humbled. So we need to not just hear the Word, but we also need to practice the Word, you know. I just want to read you some of the topics that it was covered in that perfecting exercise. First one is concerning calling on the name of the Lord. We all know, I think everyone sitting here, we all know calling on the name of the Lord. What's special about it? Well, the name of the lesson is the mingled spirit and calling on the name of the Lord. You know, Amy Barber in hymn number 73, she mentioned that to breathe the name of Jesus is to drink life indeed. But he didn't mention in his writing, in her writing, any place that when we call, it's not just with our mouth, with the voice. We have a mingled spirit. The Lord has come into us, and His Spirit is one with us. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So when we exercise our spirit, we touch the Lord by calling on the name of the Lord. The Lord is so real to us. Even not just drinking life in thee, even we become one with Him. So all this, there are other lessons concerning judicial redemption, organic salvation. This is the book of Romans. First part, judicial redemption. Second part, organic salvation. Then there's the word of life. With, pray, read the word. So we need to, and know God's word is life. But we also need to know how to practice by prayer reading, that this word can be experienced, received by us, to be life to us. Then you mentioned about the triune God, the revelation of the triune God, and His move.
Amen.
Just like in the Old Testament, God revealed Himself, not just for the revealing sake, but to lead His people, that they will move on with the Lord, even into the good land, for His purpose. Then there is concerning God's economy and consecration to love the Lord. So God has an economy to accomplish, but it's not just a work to do, but rather it takes our love. We need to love the Lord. Then there is the revelation of Christ with the experience. The Christ we need to see. Such a Christ is all-inclusive, but we can experience Him. This is the first book, the six lessons. I think all the saints enjoyed it very much. Okay, I just stop here. May we all, for the coming of the Lord, and we participate in the priesthood of the gospel.
Amen.
And for the coming of the Lord, we participate in the building up of the church of Christ.
Amen.
That we all may be ready for His coming.
Amen.
On one hand, we join Him in carrying on His purpose. On the other hand, we prepare ourselves.
Amen.
Because the Lord is coming with us Christians, is for reward and punishment. I like to live a life meaningful. I think we all want to live a life meaningful.
Amen.
We all want to live a life to fulfill His purpose, not just for ourselves, because it will be meaningless no matter how good, you know, our daily life, you know, whatever we have, eventually we'll know everything is vanity of vanity. Only God's purpose, only God is eternal.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I'll stop here.
Well, first of all, we'd like to welcome all those who may be here for the first time, visiting from either other localities or you came with one of the brothers and sisters. So if you are here for the first time, we would like for you to stand up. We'd like to meet you and greet you, and maybe the ones who brought you can stand up with you. Are there any here who are either visiting or are new and they're here for the first time? Please stand up. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good. Good. Maybe you could tell us your name and where you're from. We have translation. You can speak in any language.
This is my mother.
Amen.
I'm from New Jersey. We just moved to the university recently.